So I asked one of the sisters this morning if she knew what holiday was coming up this week, and she got the answer right. And I said, do they celebrate that in the Philippines? And she said yes. So in case you don't know what I'm talking about, hopefully this will jog your memory before the week's over. Happy Valentine's Day. Before I get into the lesson, I want to make a comment on this photo. And I've used this before in several of the classes and in a lesson that I did on marriage, the training ground for heaven. And we look at that and we laugh, but it points out one of the problems that has existed for a long time, that when a man and a woman become married, they do not leave their mother and father. And this one looks like she's not going to let them go too easily. When does a man and woman leave their father and mother and start their own family? Is it over a period of time? Does it take some time to do that? It should be when they become married. That is when they are a new family. What does this leaving them involve? Different cultures, different societies might do it different ways. Some say, well, I moved out of the house, so there's distance between them. But you could be 2,000 miles apart and still not have left mommy or daddy. And it goes both ways. The young couple needs to leave the parents, and the parents need to leave the young couple so they can get started on building their family as soon as possible. That's an extra bonus little sermonette. So our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, and I have everything on the slides up here where you can just look up here to follow along. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So we're going to talk about husbands and wives this morning. This is an outline that I got from another preacher. It's got 20 different points, and I can tell you, I didn't mess up on more than 10, and you'll understand that as we get into it. I also find it interesting, just looking at Ephesians chapter 5 that we're all familiar with, the section devoted to wives and the section devoted to husbands. And when you stop and think about this, and you think about a marriage, is it a good marriage? Is it a so-so? Is it a happy marriage? Is it a great marriage? Paul is using the church. Jesus was speaking of the church. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When we think about how much Christ loved the church and how the church responded to Christ, that is the kind of home, that is the kind of marriage that we want to build. So we're going to look at 10 commandments for the women and 10 commandments for the men. And that's why I told you I didn't get more than 10 wrong. Expect not thy husband to give thee as many luxuries as thy father hath given thee after many years of hard labor. Sometimes you see young people get married and they want everything right away. They want it, or you might even hear, well, my daddy would give me this, my daddy would do that. Friends, that's not going to help build a strong marriage. This is something that we should all develop. The Philippians 4:11, I have learned that whatever state I am in, to be content. We need to learn contentment. And again, a lot of these are for wives and husbands. But you see somebody, they want to have the newest this, the newest that, and they neglect their spouse. We need to learn to be content. The second one, thou shalt work hard to build thy house with the husband that you have, not fantasizing about the one that could have been. The mother might say, oh, if you would only have married that doctor, just think of all the money you would have. Just think of the house you'd be living in. Just think of this. Just thinking of that. Don't take this the wrong way. It doesn't matter who you marry. It's what you make of that marriage once you marry. Once you determine, I am going to be committed to this person. And then you start building a life together. You build it. You build it with love. You build it with Christ as the center. You build your house. Don't worry about somebody else's house. You know, when I was growing up, I had five older brothers, and they didn't, I was the youngest, so they didn't compare me being married to other things, but I got compared about everything else with my older brothers. Well, they did this, they did that. Why don't you do this? Well, I'm not them. You got to work on your own house. Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. You want to be a wise woman? You work on your house. You work on your home. And that will build a home that will mirror the church. And again, you think about all of these things when Paul says that this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. You think about the marriage and this aspect of it and the church. We work on this congregation. We don't worry about some other congregation. We don't worry about what's going on some other part of the world. This is a local congregation. We're focused on the local work and doing it for Christ. Commandment number 3 for women, thou shalt not nag. Hit him with thine frying pan. It is kindlier. I started to bring a visual aid for that, but I thought I'd better not, and I'd have to scrape the lard out of it. Proverbs 21:19 says, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Nobody likes to hear somebody else nag. Husbands don't like to hear wives nag. Wives don't like to hear husbands nag. And some way, you just got to learn how to communicate, how to let somebody know. You know, when you nag me like that, you know how I feel when you do this? And just share your ideas, because that's what we do in the church. That's how, again, the marriage mirrors the church. And we do things in a loving way. But I like the visual with this. If you're going to nag him, just hit him with a frying pan. It's so much kinder than nagging him. Have you ever been around a couple that did that? It's obvious. And you feel for the person, but then I wonder, they're the only two that can change it. And they have the power to change it. I'm checking to make sure my eyes aren't working as good as I like them this morning. Also, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Have you ever gone to bed at night and you're just ready to go to sleep? And in the bathroom or the kitchen, you hear that drip, 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 drip. And it just drives you crazy. Thou shalt not nag. That's what nagging is like, that drip, 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 over, over, over. Commandment number 4, thou shalt coddle thy husband and be a warm wife. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about sexual impurity and how to avoid it. Paul says that the wife has a right to her husband's body, the husband has a right to his wife's body, and when people follow God's plan, the marriage is enjoyable. The problem is, people want to deviate from God's plan, do something different, and it only creates problems. Number 5, remember that the frank approval of thy husband is more to thee than the side glances of many strangers. 2 Peter 2:14, eyes full of adultery that cannot stop sinning, enticing unstable souls, have a heart trained in covetous practices. And this, again, goes for both the husband and wife. What your wife says to you, what your husband says to you, is more important than all of those passerbys out there. You'll run into people in life and, oh, I saw your husband, I saw your wife. They seem like such and such a person. And they may have only been around them for a few minutes. And they don't know the person. When your husband or wife is telling you something, they are going to be the ones that are going to be the most honest with you. And what do we usually do? Carol will tell me something and I'll say, no, that can't be. We don't want to see what other people see in us. We want to see what we've built up in our head. But we need that feedback. We need that feedback. It's just like in work. And over the years, I've had to hand out so many surveys, have functions or training sessions and surveys. What did you think of this on a scale of 1 to 5? Was this good, bad? Was this indifferent? Should the speaker do this more, do this less? What can you do for improvement? Feedback. You need feedback to improve. And if you don't talk, that's a problem. If you don't give feedback, that's a problem. And the more you talk and the more you give constructive feedback, the more it helps. And over the years, you learn to do that using the right words. It may be a little bit of a challenge, but again, you're in it for life. Thou shalt not yell at thy husband, but will be a gentle and quiet spirit. And I tell you, when I read these, you know, I just, certain times, I won't say certain names, but I've been in certain houses, and it's just yelling and screaming all the time. 1 Peter 3:1-4, wives, be submissive to your husbands. He says, don't just dress up the outer body, dress up the inner body, and you will win your husband's heart. Thou shalt not yell at thy husband, but will be a gentle and quiet spirit. Peter says that the wives are to submit. Now, that doesn't mean that the wife is to be a doormat. That doesn't mean that the husband is basically to make his wife a slave. He loves her. How much does a husband love his wife? A husband loves his wife enough to die for her, to give his life for her. That's what Christ did for the church. And I tell you, like I said, when you get to the men, I didn't get more than 10 wrong. But Carol will want me to do something, and I'll say, honey, I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I got up at 3:30 this morning. I've been going all day. I can't do this. I can't do that. I make excuses. But then when I catch my breath, I say, do you want to do something? Because I don't want my wife to feel like I'm neglecting her. I don't want her to think that she's a maid. But she does not yell at me. As I would say to her mother before she died, not anymore. But a woman that has a gentle and quiet spirit can change a man. And we've seen that. We have seen, I have known of men that are Christians, that are elders, that were not members of the church when they got married, but because of that gentle and quiet spirit of the wife, she led him to Christ. And gentle, again, that's not somebody that's timid. That's not somebody that's cowering. That's somebody, remember the term broken and humility. We're to have a humble heart. Humility is power under control. We're to have you take a horse and you break that horse. That horse is very powerful. That horse is just as powerful before he's broken as it is after he's broken. But you can take a big horse, break that horse, and then he's gentle. He's gentle, and you can take a little child and set up on that horse, and that little child can make the horse go anywhere it wants to. A gentle and quiet spirit. Number 7, permit no one to assure thee that thou art having a hard time. And we see this too. Somebody will go up to a woman and, oh, I know you're just having such a hard time. I know this, I know that. What are you doing with that person? Friends, we should never say anything like that. We should never think anything like that. We should always encourage one another. Because you see, when you plant a seed like that, what's that seed going to do? It's going to take root. It's going to grow like a weed. And then that negative thought, well, yeah, he said this, he said that, and he probably thought this too, and you build all of these monsters in your mind. 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist the devil, knowing that everybody else suffers also. Friends, we got to understand, even if there's something going on, say a young couple gets married and he loses his job, and the in-laws say, see, I told you not to marry that person. Well, look at what you got yourself into. Well, we are all going to suffer in life because we live in this world. And we should stop blaming other people because of suffering in the world. You want to blame somebody for suffering in this world? Blame Adam and Eve. They're the ones that brought it into the world. We shouldn't blame our husband or our wife. Thou shalt not fail to dress up for thy husband with an eye to please thee, to please him as thou didst before marriage. I want to read here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse? How much better than wine is your love? and the scent of your perfumes than all spices. Your lips, O my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are made under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. How do we see people dressed today? You know, the whole dress code has just come down so much. We joke about people going shopping wearing their pajamas. We need to dress up a little bit for each other. Thou shalt submit to thy husband from thy heart and allow him to be the head of the household. Ephesians 5:33 says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. In a home, you only have one leader. It's not two leaders. It's not a leader, I'll be the leader this year, you be the leader next year, and we'll trade off. There's a leader. And it's just like in a business, you're running a business, you have a job, you have employees. There's only one leader, and the wife needs to submit from the heart and allow him to do what he's supposed to. Thou shalt assure thy husband and others that he is the greatest man alive. I want to read another passage from Song of Solomon. What is your beloved more than another beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charges? My beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like finest gold, his locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. And this is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. There's a woman that loves her husband instead of saying he's a lousy slob. So we get to the men. Thou shalt not take thy wife for granted, but honor and respect her as thy equal. And 1 Peter 3:7 says that we are to deal with our wives with understanding and give them honor. Dwell with them with understanding. Again, to understand something, you have to get to know something. You have to communicate to help get to understand something. And then honor them. Honor them. We don't put our wives down. And we should, another thing with any man, woman, husband, wife, a couple dating, a married couple, we should never make fun of people that we know. Never make fun. I put that cartoon up there. I'll make fun of that to teach a lesson. But we never make fun of our friends. Thy highest allegiance except God shall be to thy wife, not thy relatives or friends. So who comes first in my life? God. God. Who comes second? My wife. Genesis 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and shall become one flesh. Again, when does that happen? After you 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years. When you say, I do, you do. You're a separate, independent family. You make decisions on your own. And what if my mom and dad don't like it? It's none of their business. It's none of their business. Because my priority now is not to please mom and dad. My priority is to please my wife, to plan my family, to raise an environment for my children, my obligations here, my obligations there. So it's God first, wife second. Anything else comes on down the list. Thou shalt frequently tell thy wife how important and how valuable she is to thee. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. If I stuck my fingers in my jacket and pulled it out and say, look what I've done, look at this, look at that, would you believe me? No, Carol has been there by my side for the last 40 years. It's what we did together. Thou shalt hold thy wife's love by the same means that thou won it. One other here back in Song of Solomon. Well, this is the one that we looked at with a few other verses, but we are not to give up on showing our love for our spouse. Number five, thou shalt actively, and back to that. So again, we all know men and women think different. Basically, women are more emotional, men are more logically, basically speaking. Sometimes, that's not in every instance. Sometimes a woman might look at something and break down crying, and a man will look at her and say, what's wrong? And, oh, don't you know what's wrong? Don't you understand that? Yeah, but look at the time. We're supposed to be over there now. Thou shalt hold thy wife's love by the same means that thou won it. We gotta work on, spend some time understanding those differences between emotion and logic and attraction, and use them to build on, not to divide. Again, we are building something that is compared to the church. Thou shalt actively establish family discipline with thy wife's help. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't say, mothers, do not provoke your children. It's the father's responsibility. Now, the wives can help, but the wives, the mothers, cannot take over the responsibility of the father. And again, each home can work out how they work that out. But it's the man's responsibility. The man's responsibility. And one of the problems is there are too many men today that get into a marriage and they don't want responsibility. They want their wife to be their mother, to be their discipliner of the children, to do this, to do that. And again, the role we have as the man is to be the head, to lead in a loving way, to administer discipline with the wife's help. Remember to do all the little things for thy wife when you say you will. Matthew 5:37 says, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these, is from the evil one. So we say we're going to do something, we need to keep our word. We don't keep our word and do something, it creates doubt in our mind. Things back up. And again, it's the little things. And if somebody want to do something little for somebody, it sends the message, I'm not going to do something big for you. Keep thine eyes on thy own wife, not thy neighbor's wife. Job 31:1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a young woman? Again, we live in a society where this is such a problem, the way people live, the way they dress, things going on in society. But keep thine eyes on thy own wife, not thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt make every effort to see the things from thy wife's point of view. Genesis 21:12 is the story of Hagar and Ishmael, Abraham's son by Sarah's handmaid. And at the feast for Isaac, Abraham's son, when he was weaned, do you know what Sarah said to Abraham? She said, "This son you had by another woman is not going to be heir with my son." And I'm guessing she didn't use that tone. She probably said, "Abraham, that son that you had by another woman is not going to be heir with my son. Send him away. Send him away." And Abraham, he might be thinking, "Well, what's wrong, Sarah?" We've got to look at things from our wife's point of view. Number 9, thou shalt not fail to kiss thy wife every morning. Song of Solomon 8:1. We need to kiss her in the morning, kiss her at night, kiss her in between. We need to show affection to our wife. Thou shalt not be stingy with thy wife when it comes to money. Esther 5:3 says, the king said to Esther, "What is your request? I will give you up to half the kingdom." Carol, I was in the kitchen the other day, and Carol said, "Will you bring me the pistachio nuts in?" And I brought them in, and I said, "You can have up to half of these." And she looked at me, and I said, "You'll understand it with the lesson on Sunday." The king was willing to give Esther up to half of the kingdom. We shouldn't be stingy with our wife. If our wife wants something, if at all possible, we should give it to her. Whether it's time, money, something she wants to buy, something to do, we should not be stingy with our wife. So, husband and wife and the church is the greatest institution there is. It's the greatest institution that there is. It was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. He had this plan. He sent his son to come and die for you and me that didn't deserve it. The church represents the bride of Christ. He's going to come back and take his bride. He wants his bride to be pure and spotless and clean and holy. And he's coming back for his wife, his bride, for us, to take us home to be with him forever in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And friends, that's what we need to think of with our home and our family. Teach to these young people. Set the example for the young people that we have here. We need more young people here. One day, if our prayers are answered, we will have them. And we want to help everybody go to heaven. And it all starts with becoming a Christian. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond, if you need the prayers, if you need to respond in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.